Pilgrim's Progress, Part 1, Chapter 6. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Part 1, Chapter 6. Now, when they were got almost quite out of this wilderness, Faithful chanced to cast his eye back, and espied one coming after him, and he knew him.
"Oh,"
said Faithful to his brother,
"what comes yonder?"
Then Christian looked and said,
"It is my good friend Evangelist."
"Aye, and my good friend too,"
said Faithful,
"for it was he that set me the way to the gate."
Now was Evangelist come up unto them, and thus saluted them.
"Peace be with you, dearly beloved, and peace be to your helpers."
"Welcome, welcome, my good Evangelist. The sight of thy face brings to my thought thy former kindness and unwearied labouring for my eternal good."
"And a thousand times welcome,"
said good Faithful.
"Thy company, O sweet Evangelist, how desirable it is to us poor pilgrims."
Then said Evangelist,
"How hath it fared with you, my friends, since the time of our last parting? What have you met with? And how have you behaved yourselves?"
Then Christian and Faithful told him of all things that had happened to them in the way, and how and with what difficulty they had arrived to that place.
"Right glad am I,"
said Evangelist,
"not that you met with trials, but that you have been victors. And for that you have, notwithstanding many weaknesses, continued in the way to this very day. I say, right glad am I of this thing, and that for my own sake and yours. I have sowed, and you have reaped, and the day is coming when both he that sowed and they that reaped shall rejoice together. That is, if you faint not. The crown is before you, and it is an incorruptible one, so run that you may obtain it. Some there be that set out for this crown, and after they have gone far for it, another comes in and takes it from them. Hold fast, therefore, that you have. Let no man take your crown."
Then Christian thanked him for his words, but told him withal that they would have him speak further to them, for their help the rest of the way, and the rather, for that they well knew that he was a prophet, and could tell them of things that might happen unto them, and also how they might resist and overcome them. To which request Faithful also consented. So Evangelist began as followeth.
"My sons, you have heard, in the words of the truth of the gospel, that you must, through many trials, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, that in every city bonds and afflictions await you. And therefore you cannot expect that you should go long on your pilgrimage without them in some sort or other. You have found something of the truth of these words upon you already, and more will immediately follow. For now, as you see, you are almost out of this wilderness, and therefore you will soon come into a town that you will by and by see before you. And in that town you will be hardly beset with enemies who will strain hard, but they will kill you. And be you sure that one or both of you must seal the truth which you hold with blood. But be you faithful unto death, and the king will give you a crown of life. He that shall die there, though his death will be unnatural, and his pain perhaps great, he will yet have the better of his fellow, not only because he will be arrived at the celestial city soonest, but because he will escape many miseries that the other will meet with in the rest of his journey. But when you are come to the town, and shall find fulfilled what I have here related, then remember your friend, and quit yourselves like men, and commit the keeping of your souls to God in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator."
Then I saw in my dream that when they were got out of the wilderness, they presently saw a town before them, and the name of that town is Vanity, and at that town there is a fair kept, called Vanity Fair. It is kept all the year long. It beareth the name of Vanity Fair, because the town where it is kept is lighter than vanity, and also because all that is there sold, or that cometh thither, is vanity, as is the saying of the wise, All that cometh is vanity. This is no newly begun business, but a thing of ancient standing. I will show you the original of it. Almost 5,000 years ago, there were pilgrims walking to the celestial city as these two honest persons are, and Beelzebub, Apollyon, and Legion, with their companions, perceiving by the path that the pilgrims made that their way to the city lay through this town of vanity, they contrived here to set up a fair wherein should be sold all sorts of vanity, and that it should last all the year long. Therefore, at this fair are all such things sold as houses, lands, trades, places, honors, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, and delights of all sorts, as wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and what not. And, moreover, at this fair there are at all times to be seen jugglings, cheats, games, plays, fools, apes, knaves, and rogues, and that of every kind. Here are to be seen, too, and that for nothing, thefts, murders, false swearers, and that of a blood-red colour. And, as in other fairs of less moment, there are several rows and streets under their proper names, where such and such wares are vended. So here, likewise, you have the proper places, rows, streets, namely countries and kingdoms, where the wares of this fair are soonest to be found. Here are the Briton Row, the French Row, the Italian Row, the Spanish Row, the German Row, where several sorts of vanities are to be sold. But, as in other fairs, some one commodity is as the chief of all the fair. So the ware of Rome and her goods are greatly promoted in this fair. Only our English nation, with some others, have taken dislike thereat. Now, as I said, the way to the celestial city lies just through this town where this lusty fair is kept, and he that would go to the city and yet not go through this town must needs go out of the world. The Prince of Princes himself, when here, went through this town to his own country, and that upon a fair day, too. Yea, and as I think, it was Beelzebub, the chief lord of this fair, that invited him to buy of his vanities. Yea, would have made him lord of the fair, would he but have done him reverence as he went through the town. Yea, because he was such a person of honour, Beelzebub had him from street to street, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a little time, that he might, if possible, allure that blessed one to ask for and buy some of his vanities. But he had no mind to the merchandise, and therefore left the town without laying out so much as one farthing upon these vanities. This fair, therefore, is an ancient thing of long standing, and a very great fair. Now these pilgrims, as I said, must needs go through this fair. Well, so they did. But behold, even as they entered into the fair, all the people in the fair were moved, and the town itself, as it were, in a hubbub about them, and that for several reasons. First, the pilgrims were clothed with such kind of garments as were different from the raiment of any that traded in that fair. The people, therefore, of the fair made a great gazing upon them. Some said they were fools, some they were bedlams, and some they were outlandish men. Secondly, and as they wondered at their apparel, so they did likewise at their speech, for few could understand what they said. They naturally spoke the language of Canaan, but they that kept the fair were men of this world, so that from one end of the fair to the other they seemed barbarians, each to the other. Thirdly, but that which did not a little amuse the storekeepers was that these pilgrims set very light by all their wares. They cared not so much as to look upon them, and if they called upon them to buy, they would put their fingers in their ears and cry,
Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity,
and look upwards, signifying that their trade and traffic were in heaven. One chanced, mockingly, beholding the actions of the men, to say unto them,
What will you buy?
But they, looking gravely upon him, said,
we buy the truth.
At that there was an occasion taken to despise the men the more, some mocking, some taunting, some speaking reproachfully, and some calling on others to smite them. At last things came to a hubbub and great stir in the fair, insomuch that all order was confounded. Now was the word presently brought to the great one of the fair, who quickly came down and deputed some of his most trusty friends to take these men for trial, about whom the fair was almost overturned. So the men were brought to trial, and they that sat upon them asked them whence they came, whither they went, and what they did there in such unusual garb. The men told them that they were pilgrims and strangers in the world, and that they were going to their own country, which was the heavenly Jerusalem, and that they had given no occasion to the men of the town, nor yet to the merchants, thus to abuse them, and to hinder them in their journey, except it was for that, when one asked them what they would buy, they said they would buy the truth. But they that were appointed to examine them did not believe them to be any other than crazy people and mad, or else such as came to put all things into a confusion in the fair. Therefore they took them and beat them, and besmeared them with dirt, and then put them into the cage, that they might be made a spectacle to all the men of the fair. There, therefore, they lay for some time, and were made the objects of any man's sport, or malice, or revenge, the great one of the fair laughing still at all that befell them. But the men being patient, and not rendering railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, and giving good words for bad, and kindness for injuries done, some men in the fair that were more observing and less opposed than the rest began to check and blame the baser sort for their continual abuses done by them to the men. They therefore in an angry manner let fly at them again, counting them as bad as the men in the cage, and telling them that they seemed to be in league with them, and should be made partakers of their misfortunes. The others replied that, for aught they could see, the men were quiet and sober, and intended nobody any harm, and that there were many that traded in their fair that were more worthy to be put into the cage, yea, and pilloried too, than were the men that they had abused. Thus, after diverse words had passed on both sides, the men behaving themselves all the while very wisely and soberly before them, they fell to some blows, and did harm to one another. Then were these two poor men brought before the court again, and there charged as being guilty of the late hubbub that had been in the fair. So they beat them pitifully, and hanged irons upon them, and led them in chains up and down the fair, for an example and terror to others, lest any should speak in their behalf, or join themselves unto them. But Christian and the faithful behaved themselves yet more wisely, and received the wrongs and shame that were cast upon them with so much meekness and patience, that it won to their side, though but few in comparison of the rest, several of the men in the fair. This put the other party in yet a greater rage, insomuch that they resolved upon the death of these two men. Wherefore they threatened that neither cage nor irons should serve their turn, but that they should die for the abuse they had done, and for deceiving the men of the fair. Then they were remanded to the cage again, until further order should be taken with them. So they put them in, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Here, therefore, they called again to mind what they had heard from their faithful friend Evangelist, and were more confirmed in their way and sufferings by what he told them would happen to them. They also now comforted each other that whose lot it was to suffer, even he should have the best of it. Therefore each man secretly wished he might have that privilege. But committing themselves to the all-wise disposal of him that ruleth all things, with much content they abode in the condition in which they were, until they should be otherwise disposed of. Then, a convenient time being appointed, they brought them forth to their trial, in order to their being condemned. When the time was come, they were brought before their enemies, and placed on trial. The judge's name was Lord Hategood. The charges against both were one and the same in substance, though somewhat varying in form. The contents whereof were this.
that they were enemies to and disturbers of their trade, that they had made riots and divisions in the town, and had won a party to their own most dangerous opinions, in contempt of the law of their prince.
Then Faithful began to answer that he had only set himself against that which had set itself against him that is higher than the highest.
And,
said he,
as for disturbances, I make none, being myself a man of peace. The parties that were won to us were won by beholding our truth and innocence, and they are only turned from the worse to the better. And as to the king you talk of, since he is Beelzebub, the enemy of our Lord, I defy him and all his angels.
Then it was made known that they that had aught to say for their lord the king against the prisoner at the bar should forthwith appear and give in their evidence. So there came in three witnesses, to wit, Envy, Superstition, and Pickthank. They were then asked if they knew the prisoner at the bar, and what they had to say for their lord the king against him. Then stood forth Envy, and said, to this effect,
My lord, I have known this man a long time, and will attest upon my oath before this honourable bench that he is...
Hold! Give him his oath.
So they sware him. Then said he,
My lord, this man, notwithstanding his name, Faithful is one of the vilest men in our country. He cares for neither prince nor people, law nor custom, but doth all that he can to possess all men with certain of his disloyal notions, which he in the general calls principles of faith and holiness. And in particular, I heard him once myself affirm that Christianity and the customs of our town of vanity were opposites, and could not be reconciled. By which saying, my lord, he doth at once not only condemn all our laudable doings, but us in the doing of them.
Then did the judge say to him,
Hast thou any more to say?
My lord, I could say much more, only I would not be tiresome to the court. Yet, if need be, when the other gentlemen have given in their evidence, rather than anything shall be wanting, that I will dispatch him, I will have more to speak against him.
So he was bid stand by. Then they called Superstition, and bade him look upon the prisoner. They also asked what he could say for their lord the king against him. Then they sware him. So he began,
My lord, I have no great acquaintance with this man, nor do I desire to have further knowledge of him. However, this I know, that he is a very pestilent fellow, from some discourse the other day that I had with him in this town. For then, talking with him, I heard him say that our religion was marked, and such by which a man could by no means please God. Which saying of his, my lord, your lordship very well knows what necessarily thence will follow. To wit, that we still do worship in vain, are yet in our sins, and finally shall be destroyed. And this is that what I have to say.
Then was Pickthank sworn, and bid say what he knew, in behalf of their lord the king, against the prisoner at the bar.
My lord and you gentlemen all, this fellow I have known a long time, and have heard him speak things that ought not to be spoken, for he hath railed on our noble prince Beelzebub, and hath spoken contemptuously of his honourable friends, whose names are the Lord Old Man, the Lord Carnal Delight, the Lord Luxurious, the Lord Desire of Vainglory, my old Lord Lust, Sir Having Greedy, with all the rest of our nobility, and he hath said, moreover, that if all men were of his mind, if possible, there is not one of these noblemen should have any longer a being in this town. Besides, he has not been afraid to rail on you, my lord, who are now appointed to be his judge, calling you an ungodly villain, with many other such like abusive terms, with which he hath bespattered most of the gentry out of our town.
When this Pickthank had told his tale, the judge directed his speech to the prisoner at the bar, saying,
Thou renegade, heretic, and traitor, hast thou heard what these honest gentlemen have witnessed against thee?
May I speak a few words in my own defense?
Sirrah, sirrah, thou deservest to live no longer, but to be slain immediately upon the place. Yet, that all men may see our gentleness towards thee, let us hear what thou, vile renegade, hast to say.
I say, then, in answer to what Mr. Envy hath spoken, I have never said aught but this, that what rule, or laws, or custom, or people were flat against the word of God, are opposite to Christianity. If I have said amiss of this, convince me of my error, and I am ready here before you to take back my words. As to the second, to wit, Mr. Superstition and his charge against me, I said only this, that in the worship of God there is required true faith. But there can be no true faith without a knowledge of the will of God. Therefore, whatever is thrust into the worship of God that is not agreeable to the word of God will not profit to eternal life. As to what Mr. Pickthank hath said, I say, avoiding terms, as that I am said to rail, and the like, that the prince of this town, with all the rabblement his attendants, by this gentleman named, are more fit for being in hell than in this town and country. And so the Lord have mercy upon me.
Then the judge called to the jury, who all this while stood by to hear and observe.
Gentlemen of the jury, you see this man about whom so great an uproar hath been made in this town. You have also heard what these worthy gentlemen have witnessed against him. Also you have heard his reply and confession. It lieth now in your breast to hang him or to save his life. But yet I think meet to instruct you into our law. There was an act made in the days of Pharaoh, the great servant to our prince, that, lest those of a contrary religion should multiply and go too strong for him, their males should be thrown into the river. There was also an act made in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the Great, another of his servants, that whoever would not fall down and worship his golden image should be thrown into a fiery furnace. There was also an act made in the days of Darius, that whoso, for some time, called upon any god but him should be cast into the lion's den. No, the substance of these laws this rebel has broken, not only in thought, which is not to be borne, but also in word and deed, which must, therefore, needs be intolerable. You see he disputeth against our religion, and for the reason that he hath confessed he deserveth to die the death.
Then went the jury out, whose names were Mr. Blind Man, Mr. No Good, Mr. Malice, Mr. Lovelust, Mr. Live Loose, Mr. Heady, Mr. High-Mind, Mr. Enmity, Mr. Liar, Mr. Cruelty, Mr. Hate-Light, and Mr. Implacable, who every one gave in his private voice against him among themselves, and afterwards unanimously concluded to bring him in guilty before the judge. And first among themselves, Mr. Blind Man, the foreman, said,
I see clearly that this man is a heretic.
Then said Mr. No Good,
Away with such a fellow from the earth.
Aye,
said Mr. Malice,
for I hate the very look of him.
Then said Mr. Lovelust,
I could never endure him.
Nor I,
said Mr. Live Loose,
for he would always be condemning my way.
Hang him,
said Mr. Heady.
A sorry scrub,
said Mr. High-Mind.
My heart riseth against him,
said Mr. Enmity.
He is a rogue,
said Mr. Liar.
Hanging is too good for him,
said Mr. Cruelty.
Let us dispatch him out of the way,
said Mr. Hate-Light. Then said Mr. Implacable,
Might I have all the world given to me, I could not be reconciled to him. Therefore let us forthwith bring him in guilty of death.
And so they did. Therefore he was presently condemned to be had from the place where he was to the place from whence he came, and there to be put to the most cruel death that could be invented. They therefore brought him out to do with him according to their law. And first they scourged him, then they buffeted him, then they lanced his flesh with knives. After that they stoned him with stones, then pricked him with their swords, and last of all they burned him to ashes at the stake. Thus came Faithful to his end. Now I saw that there stood behind the multitude a chariot and a couple of horses, waiting for Faithful, who, so soon as his enemies had slain him, was taken up into it, and straightway was carried up through the clouds, with sound of trumpet, the nearest way to the celestial gate. But as for Christian, he had some delay, and was sent back to prison. So he there remained for a space. But he who overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his own hand, so wrought it about that Christian for that time escaped them, and went his way. And as he went he sang, saying,
Well, Faithful, thou hast faithfully professed unto thy Lord with whom thou shalt be blessed, when faithless ones with their vain delights are crying out under their hellish plights, sing, Faithful, sing, and let thy name survive, for though they killed thee, thou art yet alive.
End of Part 1, Chapter 6.
Thank you for listening, and if you liked this, please subscribe and consider liking my Facebook page and joining my group Jesus Answers Prayer.